Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:17 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 4th, and it's Labor Day in the US, so the US markets are shut. But this was a very eventful day in the cryptocurrency markets. Ethereum was down $100 at one point, and that is almost 25% of its value. And that's a significant move. Now, I think at the when I captured this chart from the IG Index site, it was a few hours ago. I think it has paired some of that decline at this stage. It's only down about 22%, but 22% is no small margin. And of course, there must be a reason for that. Now, Ethereum is the second largest of the cryptocurrencies. It is in many respects considered high beta Bitcoin. And Bitcoin was also down in a dynamic manner in here today in the order of about 10%, maybe a bit more than that, more like maybe 12 or 13%. The reason that it pulled back so violently is because the Chinese, the People's Bank of China moved in and declared that initial coin offerings, ICOs, are illegal. And that anyone who has invested in them needs to be refunded. They are no longer fungible into fiat currency, and that the various cryptocurrency exchanges will no longer be allowed to make a market in them. But there are two ways of looking at that development. One is that it removes a source of competition for the established cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, which is a bullish consideration. But on the other hand, it highlights to the increasingly large band of new investors that are being attracted to the cryptocurrency market that they are subject to the whim of government. And that if the government moves in and says that they're illegal and that it is illegal for them to be converted into their currency, then they're essentially worthless. And that's part of the reason that they've pulled back. But what we've also seen in the course of this incredibly impressive bull market this year, where Bitcoin went from, let's just say, $1,000 in January to almost $5,000 last week, that it has pulled back on multiple occasions in that time, and that significant pullbacks have represented buying opportunities. And with that said, when we look at the trend, such as it has been for this year, pullbacks have not been one day. Generally speaking, prices pull back for a few days, then we get a spike lower, and then you get a rebound. That's been the rhythm of this market. Certainly, we've had a big pullback today. It could be extended tomorrow. But the more important point is that it has held the progression of higher reaction lows. There was a break in that back in July, but it rebounded almost immediately. Therefore, the question is going to not so much be whether there was the risk of a pullback, but rather how well are they going to find support. That will be the key variable in determining how consistent these advances remain. Elsewhere, it was another interesting day in China. The A-share index was moving on to another new closing high. And I think as we approach the October 18th kickoff for the Communist Party Congress, where there is going to be such incredible political upheaval, then they are going to have a vested interest in making sure that the stock market is reasonably firm heading into that event. So I would anticipate that we're going to have a reasonably bullish environment for the majority of the Chinese markets going into that event. And the banking index, which represents a significant weighting in that A-share index, is also remaining really quite positive. When we cast our eye towards the H-shares in Hong Kong, then it was a little bit weaker, but not in a dynamic manner, and we can see very clearly on the weekly chart that there is a consistent progression of higher reaction lows, and that when we get a little bit more granular, we can see, for example, that there are ranges one above another, and that a break in that staircase step sequence uptrend would be required to really question the upward bias. And if we were to go and look longer term, then the H-share index is coming off of an area of previous support around 8,000, which it found back at the beginning of 2016. The rebound has been very orderly, quite different from the rather jerky environment that we had between 2009 and 2015. And as long as the upward bias is remaining consistent and intact, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But nevertheless, it's a very long-term range, and it needs to sustain a move above 14,000, which is still a ways from where we are today, to confirm a return to medium-term demand dominance. And the Hang Seng Index is continuing to trade in the region of 28,000, and that represents the peak back in 2015. I think it's natural that we get some pause and consolidation around that level, and not least considering that it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean. When we look at the Indian market, then it was a little bit weaker in here today, but again, not in a dynamic manner, and it is back testing this psychological 10,000 level. And the news flow surrounding Brexit and the UK remains rather ambivalent, and that the and I think that it is reasonable to expect that the course of the negotiations is going to be anything but amicable, that there is going to be some very hard bargaining, that there is going to be a great deal of brinksmanship, that the negotiations are going to take place as much in the media as they do behind closed doors, and that is going to continue to be an emotive topic. But what we can also anticipate is that the next election in the UK, provided of course this administration can survive long enough to get all the way to the end of its term, is going to be almost another referendum on the decision to leave, when you start putting up the main questions that are out there, then there is the real possibility that the UK will be in an environment where it will have none of the voting rights for the EU, but all of the obligations, and that is not the the best environment for it to be in. But against that background, the FTSE 100 is really very firm. It's been largely range-bound for just about all of this year, but it has sustained its upward bias, and it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. When we look at the broad spectrum of performance in stock markets right around the world, then we are either presented with one of two patterns. They are either finding support in the region of their respective trend means, following periods of mean reversion, which have been by and large pretty steady and not particularly frightening, and they're now right back in the region of their trend means, or they are extending breakouts. And I think it is particularly interesting today that with news over the weekend of the latest North Korean nuclear test, that the South Korean market is reacting perhaps more to the incarceration of the heir to the Samsung Electronics fortune than it is to the threat from North Korea. What we clearly see is that the KOSPI has rocketed out of this really quite lengthy range, and it is now in the first consolidation following what was a very impressive breakout. When we look at other markets, then I've mentioned in practically every audio that the Taiwanese market is continuing to extend its advance. The South African market has broken up out of its range. There is increasing evidence that it isn't just that Brazil is doing better. I keep pressing the wrong button, I'm sorry. But that what we're seeing is a return to dominance for the broad commodity sector, and that is helping to lift just about all of the Latin American stock markets. And if we look at, for example, the MSCI Latin America, which is giving us a currency adjusted factor that it is obviously a US dollar denominated, that it got right down to test the 2008 lows at the beginning of 2016, and it has held a progression of higher reaction lows since, and it continues to push on to new recovery highs. And as long as it is doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I find it particularly interesting that we have such a high degree of commonality in anything that is resources. Is resources focused. So, for example, if we look at the FTSE 350 mining index, we're presented with a pretty similar pattern. And if you look at the Australian ASX 300 resources index, then it's a pretty similar pattern. And of course, then if we look at the individual metals themselves, then we were presented with again this very similar pattern of support being found at the beginning of 2016 and now a return to demand dominance. And that is very much in tune with the synchronized global economic expansion that's evident right now, despite the fact that we are having a great deal of worry being expressed by investors. Then if we look at the fact that it is a by and large, we have consistent chart patterns that either indices are breaking up or they're finding support in the region of their trend means, and that progressions of higher reaction lows have been sustained, and we're not getting surges in oil prices. We're not getting surges in volatility. In fact, the volatility index is actually right back on its lows, and when we look at that on the weekly basis, the downward trajectory since 2015 remains very much intact. I think it is probably opportune at this moment to consider that we have to have some understanding of how the VIX is calculated. It's very similar to how an oscillator is calculated, and that means then that the relatively inert environment that we've had is a major contributor to the sensitivity of the index to relatively small moves in price. So, because the S&P 500 has obviously not had the same pullback in August as it did in November, but we can also see that by and large, back in November, volatility on average had been higher than it has been for much of the last 4 or 5 months. So, despite the fact that we didn't have a very big pullback on the S&P, we had an outsized move in the volatility because it was a standard deviation move relative to what had been a very inert environment previously. In other words, ranges or explosions waiting to happen. That's as true of an oscillator as it is of the stock price. It's as true of volatility as it is of any other time series, and that's particularly worth noting right now because the volatility has come down so very, very quickly, and it's back at 10 already, and this has represented a low area that it generally doesn't, or at least hasn't fallen very much below 10 on any kind of sustained basis. So, generally speaking, it was a reasonably quiet day in markets, and I think one of the assets that is perhaps not getting the attention that it deserves is gold. Gold prices have now sustained the move above 1300. They found support there on Friday, and this remains a relatively benign environment, considering that it has been the cryptocurrencies have got all of the attention this year, and the precious metals have been wallflowers in terms of investor interest, but they are now beginning to exhibit some relative strength, and the gold shares are also doing somewhat better. So, for example, if we look at the Spider Gold Trust, then what we can see is a pretty similar pattern to gold. And the most important thing that it's done in almost 5 years was to break that medium-term progression of lower rally highs back in early 2016. And we are I think it is now likely that it is at least going to test the peak from July of last year and potentially surmount it. This is looking like a more benign environment for the precious metals. And I think it is particularly interesting, for example, that platinum is now trading above $1,000 again. And if it can sustain that, then that's going to be certainly a positive development for that share price, or for that price series, I should say. And silver is pushing up towards the $18 area, having found support in the region of the trend mean. So we are now moving out of a short-term demand-dominated environment and potentially moving into a more important, more like a medium-term bullish environment, where the medium-term progression of lower rally highs could again get broken. In fact, silver has been largely trending lower for over a year already. And if it can continue to find support in the region of the trend mean, well, then we can start to think about that recovery is a more realistic possibility. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.